Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, good evening and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is yours truly, your host, Reverend Dockery. Grateful to be back with you on this December 20th. Can you believe that? December 20th, 2018. We are embarking upon the end of another annual cycle. And we got to ask ourselves, how far have we come in the last 12 months? We thank you for joining us. You can give us a call here. You're checking in on us from Facebook. Give us a call here on the podcast platform at 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. Be happy to entertain your question or comment. As we've been doing every other week in December, we are reflecting tonight. We're reflecting. And on behalf of our co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller, again, let me thank you all who have followed us over the last year. And indeed, those who've been keeping up with us since 2016. Tonight, we'll hold our last dialogue for 2018. And again, we'll reflect on another powerful topic of discussion, which we introduced on November 13th this past year. It was entitled, How to Understand What Makes a Man Desperate. Together, we will offer hope. That's my intention as we move into 2019 and the efforts to relieve despondent circumstances for urban America. Had some good conversation on this past Tuesday night, and I think we all were in full agreement that there is an opportunity and a need, in fact, for us to wake some folk up and moving forward, change some things, okay, as we look at another year. Now, only we can do that. Only we can do that. So that's our topic tonight. We're reflecting on the thought, hope for the desperate. Hope. And again, I'd like to encourage you and welcome you to give us a call here at 657-383-0944. Endeavor to share with you conversation I held with a brother by the name of James Carr, as well as the late Bobby, Johnny Taylor, James Carr and Johnny Taylor. Both of them brothers are no longer with us, but they were stayed back and want to share with you some substance. We hope to hear from Pastor Ricky Waller, our co-host here, shortly. Realize it's the holiday season and everybody's moving. And we pray that he's doing well, he and his family, as well as you. And our other callers, we hope that you can join us tonight. But we're going to keep it moving here. Let me get with our little brief monologue, and then we'll open up the phone lines to all those who are with us tonight. Again, our last episode for 2018. We endeavor to be back on the second week of January. All things work out right. But I want to encourage you to, before I go into the monologue, to go to our website, www.bfcinstitute.com, and make a contribution. Yes, make a contribution. Every bit helps. We are operating under the umbrella of a 501c3 non-for-profit organization that is Building Families and Communities Missions Incorporated, chartered out of the state of Tennessee. Yes, and we have our 501c3 status, so you can depend on a contribution to a charitable organization, that being Building Families and Communities Missions Incorporated. We can use your help. We can certainly use your help. We're endeavoring to move around. Of course, many of you know that during this past year, some of our efforts were interrupted by my run for public office. And again, in an attempt to be true to the things we talk about and to bring legislative authority to it, unfortunately, we were not elected. However, that did not stop our purpose and our drive. Because the things we talked about on our platform for the election were inspired and driven by our heart and ministry, it's very easy for us to transition right back to where we were, because we never left there. All right? Having said that, we're going to go ahead and get to our monologue here, and then we'll open up our phone line. 657-383-0944 is the number for you to call. Get in where you fit in. All right. Again, tonight's reflection is hope for the desperate as we look forward. Now, Dr. Roma on Tuesday night was on fire, and I don't think anybody can disagree with her thesis, that being that some folks need to wake up, get shake up and wake up. I mean, you know, she brought it like it is, brought it like it is. We appreciate that. And we'll pick back up there tonight with that thought as we move on looking for hope in Job chapter 14, verse 7. Job 14, verse 7 reads, "For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, that the tender branch thereof will not cease." There's hope. If you cut my tree down, it's not over. When we look at desperation, we realize that it involves feeling of hopeless and being in circumstances or situations that is perceived to be so bad that it's impossible to deal with. And I want to emphasize on the perception. All looks are not alike, and all dogs don't bite. Everything that's shiny ain't gold. Sometimes we face hardships in life, and perhaps after back-to-back hardships, we conclude that, my goodness, I just can't do it, and all hope is gone. I want to encourage you, don't give up on it yet, because you don't know what tomorrow holds for you. You haven't been there. You've never been there before. Yeah, you've been there yesterday. You're here today, but you do not know, beloved, what tomorrow holds for you. See, that was a purpose for all of our lives. And we just heard from Job in the text that even if symbolically that tree, that symbol of life that grew from the ground up and sprung out, its branches began to dangle, somebody came along, hurt your feelings, set you back, cut you down, there's hope. That they'll treat. Yeah. I like that. I like the fact that we don't have to give up. We don't have to quit. Now, nobody said it was going to be easy. No, the road ain't easy, but guess what? You ain't got to quit either, because there is a greater thing on the other end of your journey. I didn't come to preach, but I'm feeling my help right now. Yeah, but there's a greater thing on the other end of the journey. So this desperation comes amidst struggle and trial. Now, we've talked about this, that there is a general fear on part of many in social settings across urban America. If I try to stand up, and it's interesting because we're in a day and time of political correctness, and if an Afro-American male stood up and declared that he wants to be the head of a family, that means he needs a wife to be the head of, and children, somebody is going to get in his grill and tell him, no, 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 that's not right. You can't say that. So y'all hear this? So that's one of the factors. Brother get up and want to start a business. Look like to me everybody around him have little faith in him. Oh, you can't do that. You don't need to do that. Nothing wrong with a job now. Go get you a job. Get a good job. Nothing wrong with a job now. You're wrong. But it's even better when you can control your own money. I wish I had a witness here. So that's the general fear. That if I get up and I stood up and I acted on my best thoughts, on my best ideas, creativity, that somehow somebody, somewhere in urban America is going to try to cut me down. They're going to hate on me, drink a whole bottle of haterade, and come at me in full force. And when you rely on all these people and their negative thoughts and ideas about you and your limitations, your ability, guess what? You'll never get anywhere. Let me tell you a little secret. Too jealous and envious to see you make it anyway. They wouldn't look for you to make it anyway. And some of them will get close enough to you. Y'all listen to me now. Just close enough to you to discourage you and set you back. But there is hope for those who find themselves in desperate situations. The future of African Americans throughout all of America, particularly urban America, as a whole, to many people, when you turn on the news, listen to the radio, it seems hopeless. I didn't say all people, I said to many, particularly of those who find themselves caught in that trap that my co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller, often speak of. No, the trap ain't visible. Mm-mm. Nobody gonna tell you they set a trap for you. Because they want you to get, that's the nature of a trap. It's hidden, help us, Holy Ghost. It's supposed to be unknown to you. When you think about it, though, there is great hope for all. Now, some people would assume that the best way you can get along with society is you stop trying to be you and try to do what everybody else is doing. Can I tell you something? That dog will not hunt either. You're trying to put a poodle out in the woods to chase rabbits. Rabbit turn around and still on that little poodle dog. You better get you a hound dog or get you a golden retriever. They make good hunting dogs, pound dogs. Those make good hunting dogs, you understand? Yeah, you got to make sure that you make up in your mind that as the creation of Olam Elohim, the creator of the universe, you have dominion and power to rule, if nowhere else, in your world and within your domain. That is your divine right to do so. All right, I better stop right there because I'm feeling my health right there. Just a few more things, and then we'll open up. We're going to hear from our first friend. I told y'all I had a conversation with two gentlemen about this particular topic, hope for the desperate. And I just want to describe a little bit how you get there and then how we get out. Is that all right? Let me get there. So we know that the numbers said, sometimes statistics, they look so bad, that'll make you want to, you say, man, they talking about me, I must be dead. My goodness. But the good thing is that these are things we can turn around, right? This idea that 65% of black males in high school will drop out before they graduate. And they'll wind up representing in their 20s, those who are jobless, that don't work and not even seeking work too often. And guess what? They become so desperate that they do things to get them incarcerated, if not killed. Turn that around. We can turn that around. Let me say it one more time. We can turn that around. Young men that used to be 16, really, that's the indicator for employment. But let's look beyond employment. Look at some of the social. Let's go back now to as early as 8, 9, 10 years old. Between that age to the age that is assumed that you should be well suited, graduated from high school and able to make a contribution as a regular citizen, the age of adulthood, which is 21. But we got brothers, again, from an economic standpoint, between 16 and 30, who, for some reason or another, can't find, can't keep, and won't maintain gainful employment, nor any business idea. Here's good news. This week, President Trump signed the Opportunity Act, which made it law now in the United States that if you live in an area that has 30% unemployment or poverty, help me, Holy Ghost, that's for the entire area, you qualify for businesses to invest in you. That's where a lot of black folks are, particularly African-American males. Okay. Now watch this. Go a little bit further. Trump also signed just today the Second Chance Act, as some might call it, or the it's slipped my mind that I'm talking about it, but it's the act that allows individuals who've been incarcerated to have a second chance to get out early and to improve their lives. Now, some are concerned, as I am, that some people are going to manipulate and take advantage of anything. But then there are those who deserve, once they've come to grips with the wrong of their ways, they deserve an opportunity to do it over again. That will help take them from a desperate situation. You see? But even though President Trump signed it into law, in every voting precinct of urban America, who that live there need to be aware of it, these opportunities, organize themselves, train themselves, and take full advantage of it. That's how it becomes. Just because it exists don't mean they're going to drop in your lap and it's going to work for you. Come on, somebody. So what am I saying? I'm saying that we're in a position now, moving forward, no matter what has happened the last 30, 40, 50 years, the last 12 months, as we move forward, there's an opportunity for us to be focused, to be deliberate, and to be successful. That's the good news. That's the good news. You don't have to suffer and struggle anymore. Who's going to come to these urban American neighborhoods and communities and blocks, precincts, and give them this information? Well, God be our help, Building Families and Communities Institute endeavors to do so. Because we know this will make the greatest difference in their lives. It ain't over. Did I say that? Excuse my English, but it sounds so juicy that way. It sounds juicier to say it ain't over than it is not over yet. Y'all walk with me now. Walk with me. James Carr, renowned singer, put it like this. Talking about, I want you to listen to just for a minute or two here about how he describes the situation of a man that is desperate, okay, and what other folk do to him, and how it is so many people just give up and sink. You got two choices, sink or swim. But James Carr tells us what happened to him. Listen to him just for a second here.
Push me when I'm falling, and you kick me when I'm down. I guess I missed my calling, 'cause I should have been a clown. How much more?
You had to be put down in order to get back up.
Yeah.
So you might have to crawl before you get on your feet again.
What scares me, though, and I guess I've been there myself, is that as a young preteen and a teenager, it seems like the world is so big, but yet so demanding of you that you don't know, and nobody taught you. That's the catch right there. You haven't been prepared to deal with these things, and it feels like you're just over your head. You know what I mean? Especially once you get 18. Y'all know what they say, Roma D, when you get 18. You're supposed to do what then? What you do with your children when you get 18?
You got to let them out. Spread wings. You got to let them spread wings. They have to learn. Life is something that you, day by day, the Lord bless you to live and see it. You will run into obstacles. You had to teach. I had to teach Mike to be strong. Now that you are 18, you have to become a man.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do what it takes to survive. Go to school. I told them, if you don't go to school, you can't stay in my house.
What?
I told them if they didn't go to school, if you ain't, you can do two things. Either you go to school or you get a job.
Okay.
Now, if I got to leave this house, every able-bodied, old enough body got to get out of my house.
I heard that. Mm-hmm. I heard that. What about Roma D? They 18 now. You going to put them out?
They got to leave my house. I can't make you go in the school. You won't sit in the house playing a video game and watching TV, and I'm out here sweating bullets for a job I may not even like.
Well, let me see what 37-2 gonna do. She may let him just go back there and chill, man. Chill out. What do you think about it?
Well, you ain't finna just chill out. I mean, because I'm like 81-12. I mean, I'm sweating and laboring every day, and I get home and you just chilling out. I don't think so. But
right.
I mean, I wouldn't instantly kick them out. It would depend on what they're trying to do.
No,
if I
I'm
see
not
them trying to do.
I'm saying they have to leave the house because you're supposed to be at school. And if you ain't at school, you're supposed to be at work. At 18, you're old enough to do both of them in the same day.
Wow.
Well, now you got to be careful, though, too, with that because some of them ain't going to school and ain't going to work. Then you don't want to send them out there, you know, to trouble. Because they don't have nothing to do. They don't have a job.
Okay.
Huh?
I don't want to beat you up. I don't want to sound like I'm beating you up, 37-2, but now I like what 8112 is saying. At some point, though, you say you don't want to just push them out there, and I hear that too. But at 18, now here's what happens to a lot of males. People, babies, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong now, y'all two ladies. But there's a tendency for women in particular, and even men, to be harder on males than they are females. But they would teach the females the tricks of the trade and how to make corners meet and so forth and so on. And oftentimes, subconsciously, let the male just kind of grow on his own and don't really show them. This is not in every case, but too often that's the case. So when they reach 18, the age of consent, then the expectation that you're supposed to know enough to be out there to consent to how you govern in society. But you ain't really focused on those things. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And I understand why some people want to protect them by just keeping them covered and keeping a roof over your head and feed them because you ain't going to do it for yourself, so let me do it for you. But how long can that last?
That won't last. And it ain't going to work very well when they get out there in the real world outside of mama
That's
or daddy's house. Me being
That's
a single
right.
parent and with five sons, I had to use what my mom called tough love. It's
gotcha.
Like getting a whooping. Whole time she whooping your butt, she's saying, I love you, but talking to you the whole time. And then won't you tell her why she whooping your butt so you got that understanding. Why you getting this whooping? Life will whoop you too.
It will.
Yes, sir.
It sure will.
Life
will
whoop you. You think you're going to die and force you to stand on your feet and be either a man or a woman.
True that.
Mm-mm-mm.
Well, so in 19, how do you tell a young cat, I'm not going to give you what you want, but I'm going to give you what you need?
That's the problem. That's the problem. So if you're just starting at 19, then that's the issue right there.
Wow.
I mean, that's kind of unfair. Like you said,
okay,
I've been sheltering and protecting you all these years, but at 19, you're right. You're just supposed to know everything, and you better get it right and stay out of jail, too. That's hard.
So when do you start then?
That's hard.
What age do you start with? What age do you start
You
with?
Should start when they small.
There
when they
go.
Small mm. enough to talk, to walk.
All right now.
It's, mm. They have to be groomed mm. and trained into that. I mean, that's not fair.
So when you say when they start saying, go, go, gaga. Is that when you start?
That's my little, the youngest baby in this house knows how to carry a purse.
What?
And she thinks she knows the stuff that go in it, too. Yeah, that's when you start.
Say what?
When they start mimicking you, then you start training them.
Interesting. You know, that gets lost, though, guys. I'm laughing. Y'all excuse me for sounding silly. But that gets lost on a lot of good people.
Mm-hmm.
That if you had to figure those things out, and for you, you had your own struggles. What makes you think the child is doing while they watch you?
That's hard,
yeah, so the discipline is you shadow them, and it's good for them to be around you so they can ask questions. That means you got to take time to answer their questions,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to take time to let them know that I'm happy that you're willing to learn. And here's what you're
mm-hmm.
looking for. Now, for a lot of young males in particular, there's a natural drive to conquer 8112. There's a natural drive for males to conquer or to control what's in their possession.
Mm-hmm.
We see this in athletics, and we see this the way they play with toys. And sometimes they're even a little too rough with females, their sisters or the girls that they like and what have you.
Mm.
Well, subconsciously, what that is a drive to mastery, to have dominion. That's not a bad thing.
That's not a bad thing. What the male is supposed to do.
Right.
I mean, I think a male is trying to be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to
Come on, talk to me now.
He's supposed to be the strength. The strength.
Mm-hmm.
Mom is the sensitive side. For me playing a role of two of them, I had to have my sensitive side, which I still have, and then I have to man up, as they call it.
There
Nuffle
you go.
And then I have to have that other side as a protector.
Wait a minute. 8112, I can see what your little fist ball up right now. What you going to do?
When you raise your child up, you know, they say you put the fear of God in them.
Okay. But, you know, you don't have to.
You have to stay strong now because sometimes they get them long legs on them like I got now. They get the puberty to hit them when they're turning into manhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sometimes they lose teeth and tongue fall out to forget. And then what you're going to do, you still have to put that fear in them.
Well, that's true.
Them to respect you.
That's true. You know, there's a point when in a boy's growing up in his growth and development where two things he has to learn. He has to learn how to balance his masculine right, okay, with respect for everyone, starting with his mother, and if he got it, then his sisters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he learns to have a healthy respect for his female counterpart from there. And so you're right that when they act in those ways, the object is not to make them feel as though they're criminal or doing wrong, but to stop them and redirect them so that they can understand. You know what I mean? what the program was proper. We talked about the football player a couple of days ago and how, you know, bless his heart, he's supposed to have been a success, a black male success, but here he is, lost his whole career and the whole nine yards. Apparently, he missed that teaching. He was trained to be a good athlete, to be a gladiator, a leader, physically, but he was not trained mentally to be a human, to be a man, to be loving. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
He might have felt love and respect for the team, and he may not got that at home.
You see what I'm saying? And I'm not counting them. Don't get me wrong.
No. I feel heartbroken because obviously he earned the title that he got, but not from his actions. With what you guys were saying to me, I think that was last week or Tuesday, whenever.
Last week.
And I think that young man deserves a second chance. I really think he deserves a second chance because I don't know anyone in this world have made a mistake daily sometimes.
Yeah.
And
yes,
he made a horrible mistake. But is that grounds to just dismiss make his whole life feel unworthy? He probably feel like what you were talking about, just saying forget it all. I just want to give up. But if he listening, I'm going to tell you, give out before you ever give up, and you keep moving.
Mm.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah, it's amazing when you think about it. You find yourself past 21 years old, and you still don't know where you're headed, where you want to be the next 10 years from then. That's a scary feeling.
Yes, Lord.
And then you add that to the fact that entertainment and music and what have you start to speak for you and try to determine your identity, and then you get caught up out there, and that don't work for you. Doggone. Which way do I go?
Mm-hmm.
What do I do? Let me ask you this, 3072. In Florida, tell me about the streets of Florida, there where you are. Jacksonville, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. How likely is it that you will run into a young man who is volatile and at risk to incarceration if you just get out your car in the areas that you normally go, and you just how likely is it you'll run into somebody like that?
Especially where I work in that area, highly likely, very likely.
Okay.
And I'd run into more than one probably.
Mm-hmm. What about you, what about you,
Mike?
Are there areas that there's a great likelihood that you run into somebody like
this? Oh, yeah. I mean, depending on where I'm at the time. I mean, and I could be where I'm at. Let me put it like this. I could be where I'm at. Your man could be walking down the street. Somebody could call the police on that guy because they don't feel like he belongs in this walking down this street. Now, I can go right on the hill. There could be a guy in a suit and a tie there handing out not Jehovah's Witness paper, Muslim papers, and they are down there.
Mm-hmm.
They look good and shiny every day.
Okay.
I could walk on the next corner, and I could see my little young fellow brothers standing out there on the corner doing what they do. What you need.
Right.
I don't need what you need.
Yeah.
Keep moving. And I keep moving.
You don't need nothing, do you?
I don't need nothing. What you need. And I
need
But see, respect is something you got to earn.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And respect, some have and some don't. But 9 out of 10, I could say 75 to 80% of those guys, they know how to give respect. They give disrespect to those that try to be their quote-unquote old and young, middle-aged and all, equal. I am not your equal, honey. Now I'm going to move around.
Okay.
That's reality in urban America.
I see.
Here.
So let me ask you this then, ladies, if I add that to that. If someone was to say to them, tell me what you're out here for right now, and they can't answer it, and then they say, no, you got to come with me. Be taking you off the streets right now. Would that be fair? Would that be fair?
You said, would that be fair?
Yeah.
That if you ask them what they're doing out on the street and they can't tell you, first of all,
they can't.
They gonna answer you. They gonna tell you what
they're
doing.
What they gonna say?
I'm trying to get my money.
Okay.
I'm walking to the store. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. So first
Okay.
of all, in reality, as I knew it, they're going to tell you something while you worried about what I'm doing. And then when you say they got to leave the block or the corner or the street, and then they'll come up with something about you judging them. They might give you 20 things. You violating the civil rights or anything.
Right. So,
they'll come up with something because what they know is this. They're very smart when you get through. A lot of them are very intelligent. Some of them are so smart they're stupid, do foolish things when they know not to. They have an answer, and a lot of them done lived in prison, and some of them never seen a prison cell because they're smart enough to stay away from that.
That's true. That's so true. In fact, I'm going to come to you, 372. I've concluded that, you know, oftentimes people that are in jail, they're there, not necessarily because they didn't do nothing wrong, but they're kind of stupid. And, you know, the smart criminals stay out of jail. They know how to stay out of jail. I'm not glorifying criminality now. Don't get me wrong.
I'm not either.
I don't want you to misunderstand me. But there are some people who are smart enough to break the law and not to get caught, you know. That happens too. What were you gonna say, 372?
Well, I was just gonna go back to your question that you asked, if somebody were to approach one of the males and ask what they're doing on the streets, and if they can't give them an answer, then should they be taken off the streets? I would say yeah.
What?
I would say yeah. And that would go not just for in the urban areas. That should be in any darn area. I mean, look at it. It's tough. It's dangerous. It's scary. It's everything going on. If you're not doing anything useful, and useful can be recreation. I mean, you could be at the beach.
Yeah.
So this has really been pissing me off. That was a very good question. So, in the area that I moved from, here's my problem. So I was trying to figure out what my problem was. Why is it upsetting to me that I have all these beautiful / ugly African-American or urban people just out everywhere? Why was I upset by that? Because they're not doing SH, but keeping up hell. Ruckus.
What?
Being disrespectful a lot of the times. Nothing productive, not only for themselves, but making things unproductive for me. Now I got to watch out for you. Now I got to walk on eggshells. That you should not just be out loitering. You don't have nothing to do but stand on the block.
So it's almost
go get a
like
job.
So it's like a bunch of grown babies on the playground with no supervision. Is that a good way to describe it?
Exactly. And you shouldn't need any supervision. Exactly, because you're an adult.
Okay. But they can
exactly. They do. Unfortunately,
I was going to say that there's a reason why they have certain vagrancy laws, as well as curfews. Now the curfews are designed for people that are minors under 18, right?
Sure.
Unless you're going to work, you know, you have a legitimate reason to be out. So even if the police stop you and ask you, you know, where are you going? Some people are offended when the police ask where you headed. You know what I mean?
I am.
That's an assessment.
Sure.
Well, I mean,
sure.
It's an assessment too. It speaks to your point though, 3072, and that is people's motives for being out hanging out, especially in an area let me finish this thought. Don't lose your thought. Especially in an area where you have a lot of robberies, you have a lot
yes.
of assaults, a lot of homicides.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? Those become
mm-hmm.
critical questions to ask people that are just hanging out with no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was going to say something. Who was that? Go ahead.
I was going to use the Florida being a beach state. Do you know here after dark, I don't care who you are, if you're caught on the beach, you're going to be subjected to be maybe questioned by the police as to what you're doing here.
Right.
Really and truly, what can you be doing? It's dark. The sun is down. It's a large mass of water, which is dangerous.
Right.
If you're just creating a liability or risk of you going getting drowned or whatever the case is, and then we have to send all the emergency stuff, people,
correct.
And everything out there.
There
I mean,
go.
Right. So it makes sense. It doesn't matter white, black, young, old, poor, rich. It makes sense, seriously, to maintain some order and control. I mean,
so,
beach all day long during the day, but at night it's not safe, and, yeah, you shouldn't just be hanging around out there.
The nature of my question, ladies, was to offer some hope for those who are in desperate situations
mm-hmm.
by suggesting or offering anyway that when you look at your time, you got 24 hours in a day, and you look at your day for a week, and you ask yourself, in each of these days, how many hours was I doing something that was going to move me closer to something productive in my life or to a goal I set
mm-hmm.
for myself, right?
Sure.
Or how many hours of each of those days did I just hang around doing absolutely nothing of any work to me or anybody else? Wasted time.
Right. Right.
Waste of time. And see, you got to start training children young to be responsible
mm-hmm.
for their time from the time they get up in the morning to the time they go to bed at night. This is why you set a bedtime for them so they can acclimate themselves, become disciplined to being able to operate within a 24-hour cycle, to be productive, enjoy themselves, but at the same time, make sure that they are seeing benefit from their daily activities in life. Does that make sense? Is that,
mm-hmm.
is that too much? Is that too much
I don't.
For a child? You there? 8112, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me? Can you
hear
me?
I hear you now, okay.
I'm sorry,
yes, I
hear
you now.
No, yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense because that's how I brought my kids up. It's a time for everything under the sun.
Everything.
Okay,
right.
Everything under the sun, there's a time and a place for it. So, and that's how I brought them up. And, yes, 3072 is correct. You do have to start from a baby on up. Because you got to teach them things like be potty trained. You know you don't want to keep changing peppers when they 12 years old and ain't got nothing.
That's right.
So it's the same thing. Life is like a circle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you have
mm-hmm.
to do what your due diligence. At a certain age, when you 18 years old, yes, I would tell you that because that's how I was raised. If you able to get up at 13 years old, you know you need little extra pennies and dollars in your pocket, put your double-layer socks on, your hat and your gloves, go shovel some snow. In the wintertime, you can make money shovel snow. I did it at 13 years old.
Okay.
Wow.
If you know you want some extra money after school in the summertime, You go home and do your chores. Then you, if you want to, you go cut some grass. Now, that part I ain't do.
What?
But my brother, had to. My brother had to. You go cut some grass. So there's money to be made all year round. So don't come at me because I'm trying to take care of y'all and say, well, Mama, I need a new pair of Jordans. Well, I ain't got no money for no Jordans, so I suggest you get out there, you pay half, and I pay the other half.
And you can get some Pro Wings.
Okay.
And you're going to pay less or whatever, but you pay half, and I pay
some
half. If you want some Jordans, then you're going to get that. So that teach you, when you hand kids everything, they learn to be disrespectful and unappreciative. And then child, after they grow up into their own hood of life, I'm going to call it hood of life because life has a hood over our heads sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Once you don't
have
it and you done raised them kids like that, they going crazy because they used to their mama giving them, and daddy probably, spoiling them rotten. So if life bring them a bag of unwanted problems, they don't know how to deal with it.
That's
then guess what's going to happen?
True.
You ruined
that's
your
true.
Child because you handed them everything. Now they're cussing you out because they don't know how to appreciate the things handed them on a silver platter because life don't always work like that.
It certainly don't.
You know, what you're describing is a concept in psychology called delayed gratification.
Oh,
and
I'm
that's
smarter
where you
than
learn
I thought, huh?
To, Oh yeah, no, well, hey, you own it. You own it now. You own it. And
she hold it down.
The concept has to do with working with the expectation that I will get rewarded, not right here and right now, but in due time.
Mm-hmm.
And everything I do will get me closer to my reward. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance. That's the word of things hoped for, right? The reward, and the evidence of the things you don't see. You know you got some coming because you done put some out there. Is that right?
See, so
I'm simply saying, trying to make the point that you're right on it. Because, and what happens is a lot of, I don't know how it is that particularly people in church, in my years as a pastor I've seen this, even people in church assume that God is so good, 3072, that he automatically is going to make sure your children get this, you know what is proper, and he's going to automatically set things in life, in their life straight. And in the absence of you actually teaching them and guiding them and modeling for them those things.
No.
The intent is not to make people look bad, but it helps us understand how we can get out of some of these desperate situations.
Sure. And I would say to that, to any person, you know, that's a strong believer, and I do believe, you know, that God will guide and protect you, and, you know, people live off of their grandma's prayers and all that, but I believe that, you know, God starts us all off with an A. But after he give you that A at birth, it's up to you whether you maintain that or you turn that into an F. I mean, so, right, it's about you. He give us all what we need to get started, and that's what a parent should do. Make sure that, you know, your child has all that you could have given them that's going to help them to be their best. But at the end of the day, they got to maintain it. So we just got to try to teach them that.
But see, now, if I may interrupt here briefly.
Yeah.
And not contradicting what you're saying, however, I'm slightly disagreeing. Well, that's contradiction, just saying. But
it's fine.
Okay, when people do that, to me, it's not healthy for their children. It's not good as they go into their adulthood because... Yes, we are supposed to protect and serve our children as well as teach. But we are also supposed to know when to hold them and to fold them because one thing that happens, they will learn to not respect you and others And I'm saying that, I said that to say this, they were so used to you taking care of them, as I stated before, and giving
right.
them everything.
Okay.
If you
okay.
made them work for it, and not everything, not their dinner and all that kind of crap, I ain't talking about that. But if you told
okay.
them, oh, go get your eyebrows done at the age of six, what the heck a child need their eyebrows out for? You send
right.
them up for failure sometimes. Why
right.
you got to put $100 pair of shoes on a kid's feet when they going to outgrow them in a month?
Well,
you
I think
your butt to make ends meet. It's not necessary. Sometimes
81.
When they grow up with little, they work so hard to get more.
81-12, I think
that
you misunderstood what I was trying to say, which
no,
was,
I misunderstood maybe what.
Yeah, no, I wasn't saying give. I wasn't saying give them everything, but
mm-hmm.
certainly give them what they're supposed to have, which
oh,
is love, support. Yeah, their food, teach them, you know, yeah, those are things that a child is required in
yeah.
order to grow up to be a healthy, well-rounded, productive, you know, citizen in the world.
Yeah, that's right.
So
and
when they procreate, they can pass the same thing along, and then hopefully we'll have a healthy society. But a lot
yeah.
of the time...
Right.
There's poor babies out here that don't even get that, never mind Jordans or getting their app. They don't get anything. They're just
that's
sent out like wild weeds to be raised by
wow.
other weeds.
That's true.
Okay.
I agree with you on that.
So
I really
I'm listening to you, lady, and I'm concluding that what y'all really are talking about is setting age-appropriate expectations, you know, for not only receiving but giving back. You know, and that sort of thing. There's an appropriate, as you said earlier, 81-12, there's a time and place for everything. Even in
mm-hmm.
a child's growth and development, there's time and place for it as well. And what happens is a lot of people, when they get to the chronological age of adulthood, and I'm really talking about 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, they become so
yes.
bitter and angry with
yes,
what they
Jesus.
Missed out, with important lessons they missed out at critical ages or stages of their growth and development as children, that
mm-hmm.
you ask yourself, why is this grown person acting like a little child?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't tell them nothing to do, but in their childhood that extended to the latency period in life, and that's part of what therapy is designed to do, is to process them through that, to kind of understand how they got there and what it is, what was the driving force. And we all have that.
And
you know,
I can relate. But, I certainly can relate. I mean, like I was just saying on the other show, how much in the last year or two I've grown that I didn't realize I needed growing into. You know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
I agree with you 100%. Everybody goes through it. No parent is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we can strive. We can strive toward perfection. With each day,
well,
with each child.
Here's what you can rest in, though, 3072. When you've done
mm-hmm.
the best you know how and you were consistent with
mm-hmm.
that,
mm-hmm.
you can at
mm-hmm.
least say to yourself when you go to bed at night, I gave them the best I had to offer. Did the best I could what
right.
I had to work with.
Right.
Now, but there are people who are not even doing that.
Exactly.
And when you're working with them and when you engage them, it's important for them to understand when you call those things out, it's not to judge you in a negative way, but to help you see where you need to make improvement, you know,
mm-hmm.
forward progress. That brings me to mm-hmm. this concept. We're about at the top of the hour now. We got about 30 minutes. That brings me to the conversation I had with Johnny Taylor, the late Johnny Taylor. And 8112, he was
mm-hmm.
talking about his conscience. He was talking about his consciousness because he knew
mm-hmm.
some things he could do better. And his
okay.
conscience was getting, his conscience
all
was
right.
eating him away, you understand? And listen to what he said for a second, then let's talk about it. Let's talk about it on the other side. Listen to what he said. Let's see.
But then my conscience, you know, everybody got a conscience. My conscience is above. And when I try to go to sleep at night, it seems like to me I can hear my conscience say, you gotta be ashamed of yourself. You know you got a good woman.
Oh.
And I made a deal with my cousin that my cousin didn't bother me. Can I show you my cousin every night? The girl I'm doing, you know he's been wrong. Yes, you have. Go to your baby and tell her, honey.
I'm sorry.
Y'all don't mind if I tell
you
I'm sorry.
Look. Johnny.
Look here. We know. Now, can I? This is talk straight. We know when we out of order, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Huh? Come on now, y'all. Know, talk straight.
Yeah, we do.
We know when we out of order, right?
I may not want to admit, but yeah, you know when you're out of order, then you be looking at me like, why I do that?
And most of the time, 8112, we know when we get caught up in our stuff, why we get caught up, don't we?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know what Johnny told me? Johnny said, I try to make a deal with my conscience. You don't bother me, I ain't gonna bother you. The truth of the matter is, of that matter is, I don't care who you lie to, the worst person to lie to is the man or the woman in the church. My God. When you start accepting lies to yourself, you can't get, God can't even help you. Until you stop lying to yourself.
That's why he gave us a conscience, because it's going to deal with
Watch out, Joe. Watch out now.
That's why he gave us one. It's going to deal with you. And when it deal with you, know you've been dealt with, because you're going to have to either make the wrong right.
Wow.
Period.
And listen at the conversation your conscience had with you. All your conscience do is to cause you to reflect. On what has happened already. It's just not trying to charge you with what might happen tomorrow, right? And it's really not messing with you about so much today. It's trying to get you to reflect on where you come from. Now, you know come on now. Now, Johnny Taylor was talking about his relationship with his old lady. You know, he was talking about he was cheating on his old lady and he felt bad about it. But if we talking about cheating on yourself now, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's hard to lie to you. You can lie to everybody else. But two things I always say, you can't lie to God first, and you can't lie to yourself.
Well, it's going to come back to you some kind of way. And when I think about people being in desperate situations, I equate desperation with that point where you will fall for anything, and you'll do anything just to survive. Because you've told yourself, you lied to yourself, like, I can't do any better.
Some people don't, Pastor, some people don't figure that to be a lie.
I look at it
in a different way. There's a lot of people believe this within themselves.
Yeah.
They really believe it, and that's not a lie to them.
Right.
It's not a lie to them. It's reality to them. And they're trying to find their way, and they just don't know how to do it. I want to ask you the question, but I can't even ask you that. How do you turn that around?
No, yes, you can. Yes, girl, you better go and ask. You better ask that question.
Now, how do you turn that around? Because that happens all the time to a whole lot of people. It's not a lie to them. Maybe seem like a lie to you, but to them, it's reality.
So here's what has happened. What all of us do is at a certain point in our lives, we code our identity and we justify the way we dress ourselves, people we engage in relationships with, manners by which we please ourselves.
Yeah.
And that could, what we do is we tell ourselves this is all right because it works for me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the nature of an addiction is to continue in a behavior pattern knowing that there are negative consequences to your happiness or your existence, right? But yet you can't seem to get away from it. Why? Because you lied to yourself like everything is all right. As long as I just do this or I just do that, I'll be okay.
So,
how about that?
Therefore, what happens when you know you hoping and praying that everything going to be all right, including yourself, but you do it for the survival of you? And sometimes there's certain things happen in your life, you feel like, okay, it is what it is. I'm trying to deal with this. It's hard as hell. It is so hard.
Yes, ma'am.
I know
yes,
what to do.
Well,
I know what I have done.
I
know what to do. And even though I know what to do and I do that, I also nurture myself. There's a certain amount that I feel I can't handle. And then I have some others say, you're stronger than you think. And I'm thinking you ain't walking in my shoes.
Can I share something with you?
Yeah.
Go ahead, 30. I'll come back after you, 37-2. Go ahead, 37-2.
No, go ahead and share that. Share that thought.
I was just going to share with you, ladies,
yes,
that now I've been pastoring 22 and a half years,
mm-hmm,
and I've come to realize that I, for a long time, made myself believe that everybody I engage, I ought to be able to fix their problem, help them fix their problem.
Wow.
I'm expected to help them get it right.
Wow.
And guess what I had to learn? There are certain things that are not intended for me to do personally.
Yeah.
Hello.
That was not an easy lesson to learn, but it's one that's healthy to learn. Otherwise,
yeah,
you beat yourself up for things,
mm-hmm,
that you shouldn't be. And you code things as failures that are really not your problem from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know why I said that,
yeah,
and I appreciate you very much, and I respect you, I always have, but since I've,
well,
you
thank
know,
you.
Anyhow, what you just said is so true, because I find myself keep opening my door, and I'm asking myself, why I keep doing this? Well, God, is this what you really want? And then I'm questioning myself. Yeah. Then I get slapped upside the head.
Right.
And then at a point, I was also told, everybody's problem is not yours. Stop making everybody's problems yours. You are not here to help everybody. Everybody don't want to be saved.
Then watch out now.
Woo-wee. Woo-wee. But I keep doing it anyway.
Well, because you care. Because
and
you
I
care.
Am who I
can
am.
Can I tell you something?
That's who I am, and
the
I try not to sometimes. I don't want to sometimes. I've said it. I ain't supposed to be doing all this. But then I think about it. You know, you better watch your mouth, because you don't know what God got plans for you to do.
Now,
that, like,
now,
he
now so, Go ahead, Thursday.
I was going to say it speaks to the point that was made earlier about Johnny Taylor, you know, lying to yourself. So whether it's a white lie, a black lie, or just an all-out lie, you know what the real is. You know what it is, like with helping people.
Right.
You know darn well that really you're really not helping them. Because they keep coming with the same old issue and the same problem.
Stop right there.
So,
you know what?
Stop right
there.
Hold on. 37-2, let me stop you right there. Boy, you just hit the nail on the head.
You said
they keep doing what now? They keep doing what?
Coming with the same old problem. You're not helping them.
And don't you know that happened in church?
Oh.
Hold on. No, no.
Yeah.
Same people now. 8112. Same people. Even in church.
Same old people.
Every Sunday, they got the same what? The same confession.
Yep.
And crying about the same thing. You supposed to left it at the altar last time when you were down there
right.
for 4 hours. Why you still
right.
got the same problem?
That's why.
Right. Bro.
Huh?
I know you're
it's called being at the mourner's bench, and folks stay down there for hours.
Yep.
Maybe
yep.
they just lay
yep.
there asleep. I don't know. But when they get up, it looks like
every,
you know, you would think
every week.
Oh,
same
okay.
people now.
Mm-hmm.
Same folks.
Yep.
Jumping around, hollering,
yep.
screaming, and tearing up the place now. At what point do our lives improve to where we overcome those struggles and we take on some new challenges? That's what I've been talking about, the Afro-American experience in urban America, for the last 152 years.
Mm.
You've been free. You've been free in
yeah.
America. No more slaves. Why is it that our babies are still enslaving themselves mentally and destroying themselves physically?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's
we
hard.
Got, we've been in church now. And look, we've been
yeah,
churching
it's,
all
it's
our
hard
Negro
and
experience.
To hear, to think about it, to me, it's very hard, and I'm stuttering about it because it is hard. And I don't have all the answers. All I know to do is to share what little wisdom the Lord
sure.
has instilled within myself.
And that's
I,
what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, that's what
I
do.
Something?
I do this each and every day within me because I deal with me a lot of
can
times. Sometimes you got to look at within yourself.
Right.
Am I doing
right.
something wrong or...
Right.
Do I
can I say this?
Yes, sir.
Can I say this?
Yes.
You know, I play a little bit of football, and you get knocked out on the football field.
Uh-huh.
They have this little thing. It's like ammonia in a mixture. They just
mm-hmm.
whip it under your nose, and it'll shake you. It'll wake you up real quick. It'll wake you up real quick, and it'll get you going real quick. Ask your sons about it if they play football. And that's what you call getting your bell rang. But watch this. Sometimes, oftentimes, what
mm-hmm.
my people need, whose people did I say?
My
people.
People. Yes, sir.
What my people need is somebody to smack the pee out of.
Okay, now.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't be
mm-hmm.
desperate so much.
Okay.
I just said that on Talk Straight, didn't I? Didn't I just say
all
that on Talk
right
Straight?
All right, now. Yes, you did. But see, long as you
recorded.
Talk straight, I have to deal with you.
This
you just talking to
recorded.
Me up one side of the street, down the other side. What's the statistics said and all that crap? Some of that just flies over my head now. I'm confused. I don't like being confused.
Look, hey, this is a national platform, and this is, in fact, it's international because there are people I saw in Germany and in Italy were listening to our show. This is an international platform. I just, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I
Ooh,
just said
I told you you was going to do it.
Well, well, listen.
That's
all
right. Keep
here.
Talking. I'm listening. I'm going to shut up. Go
for
ahead and talk to me.
Negro, black, colored, Afro-American people in urban America and anywhere else,
mm-hmm.
if you're in the same situation every
mm-hmm.
year, every 5 years, every 10 years, every 20 years, every 30 years, somebody just needs to smack the pee out of you and wake you up. Can I talk
like
to
you? Like when
somebody?
You going to come out from under it.
You understand what I'm saying?
When you going to
mm-hmm.
give some... I want to know when I'm well, that ain't for y'all to worry about. But
well,
I'm
just going to say.
The road. After I've been through so much on the road, and people are different, and I know you ain't got a whole lot of time, and I ain't trying to put my life history out here. I'm just saying, sometimes you have certain things that trigger you. They call them triggers.
Sure.
Ask me
sure.
how I know that. I'm gonna tell you. I ain't going to tell you that, but I'm going to say this.
That's okay.
Maybe, and I hope and pray, maybe one day you'll overcome that, meaning me.
Mm-hmm.
Just
right.
maybe, but right now I'm still where I'm at with it. A little
yeah.
bit at a
okay.
time, I got to crawl so I can walk. Maybe if I start taking baby steps and go, I can get just upset walking down the street. I have my own condition. Shit, I be trying. It ain't health wise. Well, mentally is health, and that is a condition.
Help holy.
But the Lord blessed me each and every day.
Mama D, what's important is that you recognize the triggers. Every time you see them, you now know to avoid them, to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when we engage in a certain behavior and it gives us pleasure, the mind, the brain, releases certain chemicals that, like you're eating a candy bar, right, or ice cream. My problem is ice cream, you understand? And whenever you want to relax yourself or feel good, your brain tells you that's the quickest way to get that, to repeat that good sensation and feeling. But when you understand what the triggers are, you can redirect your brain and your thinking and your action. That's what I mean by smacking the people.
Okay.
We got to stop our people and stop making excuses for them for playing blind, crippling, crazy, and force them to accept the reality that they must change their lives if they're going to do any better.
Don't
kid
that.
What you say, 37-2?
I was going to say, too, and, you know, I like to be helpful, too, but honestly, sometimes you got to withdraw help to help.
Mm-hmm.
All
That's
these
true.
People and all these helping hands sometimes need to just fall back.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Fall back and allow that person to, like you said, Pastor, come to their own conclusion of their triggers and work through them.
There you go.
But if I'm enabling you and if I keep helping you to stay down where you've been, then nothing can change.
That's it. It's a mindset. And see, poverty is more of a mindset, I believe, than it is a physical condition.
I agree.
Because as long as you're working and producing for yourself, you ain't got to be broke.
I think somebody said
that was you, 8112. You said at an early age you learned how to get money honestly by cutting people grass or shoveling snow. You know,
I did.
Keep money in your pocket.
You'd be froze. Yeah. I'd be fast frostbitten, but I'd be out there. My neighbors,
you got money, don't
cookies and milk. Invite me in the house. Yeah, everybody on block knew Diane because she be out there.
Well, that was a store down the street from where we live called A&P. And my brother and I, you know, we go down there and help people put their groceries in the car. Man, someday we walk out of there, I probably got changed. We think we thought we were rich, man. One day we made $25 a piece. Talking about cookies and milk. Man, what the hell, Bowser? I drink
one of
those. I had spatulas all day, you know.
Cookies cost one penny. Shit, $25. Oh, I can kill myself almost.
I
enjoyed talking to y'all. That's fine with me. That's true. That brings back them good memories.
And
kids don't have those memories now. I try to get them to make my Christmas basket, help make the Christmas basket. I make a box because I had 7 children. And I don't mean, I'm saying something to say this. I made this box a long time ago. I said, well, I don't have a lot of money, but what we can do is, instead of me just buying y'all this junk, we can fill this box up. I can decorate it, fill it up with like $200 worth of stuff I use. And I've been doing this for over 20-some years.
Wow.
The box
will
trigger down this year, but however, I made this box. I want the grandkids. Everybody used to play a role in. Now, what I said to my daughter Angie was that the other kids, Angie didn't have any children, but and some of them don't. But that's irrelevant. Keep tradition going.
I see.
It was our gift to everyone that came in the house. They get to dig in the box, and you be. How many people love this box? You decorate, make it pretty, and Christmas. And I know some people don't do Christmas, but however, it was your treat to the people that came into the house, that your gift to them, because that's what you had to offer. But you offer something.
Wow.
Wow.
It's on my table right now.
Okay.
I was going to say, back to your statement on poverty mm-hmm. being a state of mind,
mm-hmm.
It took my son, I would always walk around complaining how much I work and why I don't have any money. Well, he says, Mom, you don't have money because, you know, you don't save nothing. So, honey, what is there to save?
Okay.
Well, after mm-hmm. he sat down and looked mm-hmm. at my budget, he shocked me with, wow, I wasn't even conscious of the amount of money I made for the year. I was surprised
wow.
by that, and he showed me, right, so you're just mishandling your funds. You actually have
okay.
money left over if you budget this way. But what does
sure.
that mean?
Wow.
It means being disciplined and holding yourself to, you know what I'm saying? So it is a state of mind. Just
Angela
as you think
that,
you are, I mean, that's how you'll be. And we find even in the urban areas, you know, people complain about not having this and not having that and this and that, but they're putting their monies in the wrong things and in the wrong places.
I do 30-72, but it ain't nothing horrible because if I want to buy me a wig or a new outfit sometimes, and I deprive myself of a lot of things to help others, but if I want to do some of my little libations sometimes, and I've always thought like this, you work for this, or however you get it, you deserve this every now and then. And then sometimes
mm-hmm.
you even forget how you lose your way, is what I'm saying, on how to
mm-hmm.
treat you. Once you pay all them bills
yeah.
and you living on a little income, or it may seem like a lot to some other folks, but when you get through living a certain way and doing what you got to do, I figure if you ain't in my house living what I'm doing, going through what I'm going through, yes, I may be broke, but I'm not without.
Right.
Right. See what I'm saying? I'm
so
not totally without.
Mm-hmm.
It may be things I just want and not need, but the
right.
things I want, I think I have every
okay.
right to, you know, do
okay.
myself something.
Sure,
right.
sure.
Make
and it sounds like what y'all sound like what you all are saying is that regularly making assessments is where you're able to determine, you know, where you need to make adjustments. When you make assessments, you make
sure.
adjustments. So
yeah, but some people
so
don't make assessments. Yeah.
Well, that's true. That's true.
I
know
pay the bills, and if I get a crumb out of the whole loaf of bread, I'm gonna get my crumb.
Yeah.
Well, my problem is if I had $1 million a day, chances are I give it all away, and by tomorrow I'd be broke again. So
mm-hmm.
I had to go out there and go to the gambling table again, 81-12. Because I'd be broke.
I laugh at her because I feel you.
But listen, we got about 6 minutes.
This has been so beautiful. I ain't going to get to rub my big old mouth for 2 weeks. Well, 2 weeks
no.
to 3 weeks.
We're going to start over fresh in 2019. And in 18, we were talking about how. But I'm inspired, and I was most inspired by a lot of things, but particularly 3072, when you were talking about the need to people just wake up. I mean, there are a lot of good people who
yeah.
sleep, and they sleep
yeah.
on the best opportunities, you know. And we just got to, in a loving way, wake people up. Look, come on, man. Shake yourself out. Take yourself out of it, you know. Get with the get with.
I remember.
Get with.
One time he set my brother's feet on fire. He had a piece of tissue hanging on his feet while he was asleep. And we set the tissue on fire, 81-12, and he still was asleep. He did not know his feet was burning. So after a while, it just wasn't funny. We had to wake him up because he wasn't waking up. We had
That's
to shake him awake.
Oh, yeah, I would have had to whoop y'all's tail. Now, that was not right. You don't do nothing. No, I had kids put ketchup place on my food. Ketchup, mustard, all over each other's face. I whooped they on so real good.
Oh.
They were asleep. That's
well,
crazy. Why would y'all burn this? Y'all didn't know kids being kids. Okay.
Yeah, only then was he startled. He was only startled when we woke him up and we told him what we did.
Wow.
You ain't getting no whooping.
Wow.
Oh, he tried to chase us, but we were too
Y'all didn't get no whooping.
No. No.
Why not?
We didn't tell our parents. We told him. Uh-uh. No. He got us
back.
He didn't
tell on
eventually.
Y'all. He got y'all back.
All right.
He got y'all back.
Well,
I'm sure he did.
So we wrap up our conversation for 18 with hope for the desperate. There is hope. And the main thing is that may not be easy, but you got to bring yourself, we have to bring ourselves to necessary change. I thank Pastor Waller for sitting in for us and being so gracious all year long, and you ladies for keeping up with us. We appreciate that. And we do wish you a very prosperous new yearly cycle. And the holidays, whether it's Hanukkah or Christmas, that you recognize, we wish you happiness and your family happiness during that time. So that being said, I'm going to leave us out here with an announcement because we do need your help. I need you to make your contribution. We're a 501c3, non-for-profit organization, registered in the state of Tennessee, so I need you to make your contribution to us, and that will help us to get to these cities that we're targeting. We're going to look at how we can do that more and efficiently. Meanwhile, want you to be prosperous, and we wish that God bless and keep you. Ladies, thank you very much. And
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year, and I love y'all and everybody listening. And let's be blessed for safe Christmas and your journey.
All right. Well, we'll see y'all next year then. I'll talk to y'all next year, all right?
All right,
all
now.
Right.
All right, then.
Bye-bye.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.